The boy didn't want him to go upstairs. He tried to reason with him. "There could be blankets up there," he said. "We need to take a look." "I don't want you to go up there. There's no one here." "There could be. There's no one here." "Don't you think they'd have come down by now?" "Maybe they're scared." "I'll tell them we won't hurt them." "Maybe they're dead." "Then they won't mind if we take a few things. Look, whatever is up there, it's better to know about than not to know."
"Why?"
"Why? Well, because we don't like surprises. Surprises are scary, and we don't like to be scared. And there could be things up there that we need. We have to take a look."
"Okay."
"Okay? Just like that?"
"Well, you're not going to listen to me."
"I've been listening to you.
Not very hard."
"There's no one here. There's been no one here for years. There are no tracks in the ash, nothing disturbed, no furniture burned in the fireplace. There's food here."
"Tracks don't stay in the ash. You said so yourself. The wind blows them away."
"I'm going up." They stayed at the house for 4 days, eating and sleeping. He'd found more blankets upstairs, and they dragged in great piles of wood and stacked them in the corner of the room to dry. He found an antique bucksaw of wood and wire that he used to saw the dead trees to length. The teeth were rusty and dull, and he sat in front of the fire with a rat-tail file and tried to sharpen them, but to little purpose. There was a creek some 100 yards from the house, and he hauled endless pails of water across the stubble fields and the mud, and they heated water and bathed in a tub off the back bedroom on the lower floor. And he cut their hair and shaved his beard. They had clothes and blankets and pillows from the upstairs rooms, and they fitted themselves out in new attire. The boy's trousers cut to length with his knife. He made a nesting place in front of the hearth, turning over a tall boy chest to use as a headboard for their bed and to hold the heat. All the while, it continued to rain. He set pails under the downspouts at the house corners to catch fresh water off the old standing seam metal roof, and at night, he could hear the rain drumming in the upper rooms and dripping through the house. They rummaged through the outbuildings for anything of use. He found a wheelbarrow and pulled it out and tipped it over and turned the wheel slowly, examining the tire. The rubber was glazed and cracked, but he thought it might hold air. And he looked through old boxes and jumbles of tools and found a bicycle pump and screwed the end of the hose to the valve stem of the tire and began to pump. The air leaked out around the rim, but he turned the wheel and had the boy hold down the tire until it caught, and he got it pumped up. He unscrewed the hose and turned the wheelbarrow over and trundled it across the floor and back. Then he pushed it outside for the rain to clean. When they left 2 days later, the weather had cleared, and they set out down the muddy road, pushing the wheelbarrow with their new blankets and the jars of canned goods wrapped in their extra clothes. He found a pair of work shoes, and the boy was wearing blue tennis shoes with rags stuffed into the toes, and they had fresh sheeting for face masks. When they got to the blacktop, they had to turn back along the road to fetch the cart, but it was less than a mile. The boy walked alongside with one hand on the wheelbarrow.
"We did good, didn't we, Papa?" he said.
"Yes, we did."